One day I'll do a sermon called Naked Before the Lord. Not today. So I'd like us to imagine for a second, close your eyes if you would like. Imagine a place or an activity that renews your spirit and brings you joy. Now imagine you've been through a heart-wrenching experience. Grief, stress, uncertainty, sorrow. Where would you want to go to heal? What would help you recover? What would help you find yourself again? In those first Easter days that we read about in today's gospel story, after the disciples moved from grief to confusion to disbelief to awestruck faith, they didn't know what they were going to do next. Jesus had departed from them not once, but twice. And as the weight of their exhaustion took over them, their minds were still reeling from the events of the last week. So the other disciples, they turned to Simon Peter and they asked, "What are you going to do now?" And Simon Peter said, "I'm going fishing." Fishing was his original trade, a lifelong activity. And for fishermen, there is nothing more relaxing than a day out on the water. So the other disciples heard this and they looked at each other and they replied, "Us too. Let's all go fishing." In that moment, the disciples needed to take care of themselves. We can imagine that they would have needed comfort and healing and a time to recover both together and individually. The disciples go fishing hoping to unwind and recenter themselves, to partake in the one pastime they have done their whole life. But as it turns out, as they're out on the water, they had an unsuccessful day. And so Jesus appears once more and he helps them. He shows them if they just put their nets on the other side, they will catch all the fish they could possibly want. And in this way, we see Jesus affirming and supporting their decision to take time out on their boat. Now, earlier in the gospel, when the disciples were first called to service, Jesus tells them to leave their nets, to put them down because they will only be fishing for people from now on. But this post-Easter season is a different time and a different place. And Jesus knows that what his disciples need is the comfort, familiarity, and joy of picking their nets back up. He no longer tells them to set them aside, but instead he assists, allowing to be where they're at, helping them to get a good catch. This story resonates with me as someone who often hears people express guilt when they take time for themselves to do something they enjoy. We're conditioned to believe that if we are doing something for ourselves, whether it is a bike ride or a nap or a retreat or an extravagant meal with friends, then we must be selfish or we must be denying something else more important in our life. This passage reminds me that not only is it okay to do the things we need to do to take care of ourselves, but that God might actually have a hand in creating those opportunities for us. There's a reason we call God both our creator and our sustainer. The moments where we experience healing and our spirits are replenished, these are God moments. Jesus did not come back to the disciples that day and say, "What do you think you're doing out there on the boat? You need to get back to work." Jesus didn't say, "I didn't die so you could take a day off and go fishing." Jesus simply said, "Hey friends, have you cast your net over here? There's some fish waiting for you. Go catch them." And the second half of the story confirms this for me. After they catch the fish and they're in such amazement that it was Jesus who helped them, the disciples come to shore, they build a fire, and they fry up some of their catch. It's only at this point, when the disciples have been fed in many ways and are once again feeling full of life, that Jesus then asks them to care for others. He says to them, "Feed my sheep, look after my lambs, tend to the flock." This reminds me of those classic in-flight instructions to put on your own oxygen mask before assisting the person next to you with their mask. You have to be able to take care of yourself first. The shepherds have to make sure they are in good shape before they can tend to the rest of the flock. An important part of caring for other people is caring for ourselves, because you can't give of yourself without first making sure you have something left to give. This is a critical part of discipleship, not just for individuals, but for the church as a whole. After all, Simon Peter did not go out on the water alone. The disciples all joined him on his fishing expedition. So we are called to renewal in community, keeping each other as accountable for our rest as we are for our work. At Edgewood, many of our longest and most active volunteers and church leaders, the people who've served on every possible committee and done every kind of volunteer role, these are also the folks who passionately engage in the opportunity for fellowship and renewal in the church. They're the folks who come and share a supper together on Wednesday nights, or sign up to go on group hikes in the summer, or attend Kentucky Derby parties. They're the folks who've learned to take care of themselves as they take care of others. These are the people that I hear others talking about and saying, how do they have such energy? Where do they find time to do all that they do? Well, they understand the art of taking time away, whether it's traveling or connecting with family or just being with their church community. Time to replenish their energy and begin again. No one I know has perfected it. Everyone I know struggles to find the balance, but it isn't until you begin to practice taking care of yourself before you take care of someone else that you can begin to see what that balance might look like. We are a congregation of caregivers, volunteers, activists, and organizers. What would it look like if we took self-care as seriously as we take caring for our neighbor? Now, this is the third week in a row of studying the Easter stories, and we aren't done yet. I think we spend so much time on the resurrection encounters of Easter, more than we spend on any one story, because this is the time when the disciples were figuring out how to be disciples. Before Jesus' death and resurrection, they were pretty clueless. Lovable, but clueless. They listened to him and tried to do what he said, but most of the time, we watch them get it wrong. And after his death and resurrection, they're learning what discipleship is truly about, and they're preparing to take their roles as the leaders and founders of the church. They're preparing to do this without Jesus by their side. This is the most critical moment for them. It's during these leadership-forming days that we learn that being a disciple means also caring for yourself. Simon Peter knew this, so he went fishing. Jesus knew this, so he helped Simon Peter find the most rewarding catch of his life. As disciples today, we are called to remember this. Go fishing. Feed yourself. And only then will you be able to go out and tend to the rest of the flock. Amen.